Red, White, and Confused. I'm your host, Heather Evans. This semester, I've been teaching a course on media and politics, and I've invited one of my students, Gustavo Marangoni, on the program to talk a little about his research, which surrounds the power of celebrities in politics, specifically the power of Taylor Swift. Gustavo is a senior political science major at UVA Wise and plans to attend graduate school next year at American University, and will be in the Master's in Global Governance, Politics, and Security program. The title of his research project in this class is Look What I Made You Do, The Impact of Celebrity Political Endorsements on Young People's Political Attitudes. So thanks for coming on the show, Gustavo.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Evans.
Oh my gosh, where do we begin? This is such an interesting topic. Taylor Swift and politics. I think we probably should start with, what in the world got you interested in doing a project like this?
Well, that's a good question, Dr. Evans. Thank you. Well, first of all, it's not the first time that we're talking about celebrity endorsements. I mean, it's been happening ever since the 1920s with like Frank Sinatra being the first one to endorse, and ever since in every presidential election, even midterm elections. But what sparked me to do this research, specifically Taylor Swift, was her in 2018, whenever Taylor Swift posted an Instagram picture endorsing some candidates for the midterm elections in Tennessee, and seeing how that affected the voter turnout. So given her popularity back then and now, I was wondering, maybe could she have a potential impact in presidential elections in 2024, given the elections and how polarizing the candidates are? Could she have any effect in the elections itself?
So before doing this interview, I did a little digging online and found out that Taylor Swift has a Wikipedia page dedicated to her and her political power. That's really strange to me. So, like, what are people afraid of in terms of, I guess, Taylor Swift and her, I don't know, her celebrity and her endorsement? What was it that was driving people crazy right before the Super Bowl?
Honestly, I happen to know a little bit of the answer to that. So going back to that post in 2018, whenever she endorsed two Democratic candidates, she also didn't endorse, or anti-endorse, as you would say, a Republican candidate, specifically associated with Trump. So ever since then, there's been this kind of like rivalry between Trump and Swift in that case. So the speculation was, since she endorsed Democratic candidates back in 2018, is could she have any, is she going to endorse Biden? Could she have any effect by endorsing Biden? And of course, the Democrats would love to have her endorsing given her popularity. So I think that's pretty much what the controversy was about, specifically the Super Bowl. And people saw the effect that she had on the NFL whenever she got together with Travis Kelce, of course, the NFL superstar. And ever since she started attending the NFL games, how the NFL viewership just started spiking, and how female viewership also spiked. So I think all of that combined just showed the level of influence she had. And well, political candidates in both parties were just so concerned about what's going to happen, what could happen if she endorsed. So I think that's pretty much a little bit of what's happening around Swift and politics.
I read an article that said right before the Super Bowl that about 20% of Americans believe that she was in some kind of a conspiracy with Joe Biden. So there's a lot of like speculation, especially on the right, that there's some kind of tie there and that they're going to somehow use her to boost his popularity. I find that so interesting. So I want to get into your research and thinking about celebrities and their political power. Do we know if former celebrities have been powerful?
Yes, we do have a little bit of literature on that specifically. As I mentioned, Frank Sinatra was the first celebrity to publicly endorse a presidential candidate back in the 1920s. But research lately, specifically like research like Jackson's in 2005, do indicate that celebrities, especially musicians, have a subtle influence on young people's political attitudes. Also, when it comes to Oprah Winfrey's endorsement of Obama in 2008, there's a lot of research in that, and Pease and Brewer do find that people who liked Oprah Winfrey found Obama way more viable as a presidential candidate after her endorsement. And also, Garthwaite and Moore in 2012 found that after her endorsement, She was responsible for approximately 1 million votes for Obama, which literally made the difference in the popular vote. And a little bit of that, moving forward, Ryan also in 2019, he actually created fake Instagram posts about celebrities endorsing different candidates, different causes, and found that they did have an effect on young people's political attitudes and behavior. And lastly, I think the most recent research I can find was right in 2023, and she found that celebrity political activism on social media would attract young people to politics, and they're also conditioning young people's political thought, which she calls celebrity socialization, which is something mind-blowing if we think about it. Celebrities can have the power to influence people and what they think about different presidential candidates.
So I want to get back to this. You mentioned meaning transfer theory. So what is that exactly? Like, can you explain it to somebody who has no idea what
yes,
in the world
course,
you're talking about?
Yeah. Of course. So Jackson in 2005 uses McCracken's meaning transfer theory, which was elaborated in the 1989. And pretty much what McCracken argues is that meaning transfer theory is that it's not about what the celebrity is endorsing, whether it is a product or it's a presidential candidate. It's more about who the celebrity is. So we transfer that importance we give to that celebrity to whatever they're endorsing. As I said, whether it is a presidential candidate, political candidate, or an object or a product. So that's what the human mind does whenever we listen to celebrities endorse anything.
Yeah. So it's like Taylor Swift saying it's important to vote. And if you're a Swiftie, you are going to go vote, or you may go get registered to vote or something like that. It's like that. Or if she were to endorse Diet Coke, then everybody starts like, oh, Diet Coke. I love Taylor Swift, therefore I must love Diet Coke. Am I onto something?
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. Pretty much how the human mind works in that sense.
Okay, so you mentioned a study that used fake Instagram posts. Now, I'm obviously, if you guys are listening to this, I'm his professor, and I already know about his study. So you mentioned fake Instagram posts. Tell me about your study, because you wanted to test if Taylor Swift was, if she had power, and if she could have power in this election. So what did you do?
Actually, what I did, based on the research and the literature, I did also create a fake Instagram post coming from Taylor Swift's account. And basically, I posted a picture of her and Travis Kelce after they won the Super Bowl, portraying a powerful picture. They're a couple of the moment. There's a lot of attention to them right now. And the text pretty much talked about how she would be endorsing Biden. Her along with Travis would be endorsing Joe Biden, and also talking in favor of Joe Biden and his policies and his agenda, all into that. It's a pretty extensive post, but it's pretty much I created that fake Instagram post to test one main question, which was, to what extent does the celebrity endorsement of a political candidate affect young people's political attitude? And to achieve this specifically, I created a survey, which I conducted online through Qualtrics, and asked respondents to talk about demographics, their political attitudes, their political beliefs, and political behavior. And in order to test for this, I divided the survey into two groups. So basically, everyone answered questions about demographics and political attitudes, and then one group answered the question, answered the rest of the survey, and the other group was exposed to that picture first, prior to answering a couple of questions.
That's really cool. So we've got a fake Instagram post, and it was just students, correct? Those are the only people who were tested.
Yes.
Okay, so students received this. Half of them got the fake Instagram post. Half of them didn't. You wanted to see if she was powerful. You're thinking about maybe her endorsement of Joe Biden. How did you, like, what kinds of questions did you ask then that might kind of show that they liked Biden or hated Biden or liked Trump or hated Trump? Like, how did you design those questions?
That's a great question. So after answering all the demographic questions and the political beliefs, I exposed them to the picture and asked them four different questions. So it was, give me some reasons why you would vote for Biden. Give me some reasons why you wouldn't vote for Biden. Then conversely, give me reasons to vote for Trump and give me reasons not to vote for Trump. And lastly, the fifth question, the extra question, was feeling thermometers, which basically I asked people to rank from 0 to 100 how warm or what level of warmth they had towards each candidate. So 0 to 100, how would you rate Biden, or how close do you feel to Biden? And then Trump, the same thing, from 0 to 100, rank them from zero test for the level of warmth or on each candidate.
Okay, that's really cool. How many respondents did you end up with?
Great question. So it was a total of 100, around 100. So that split each test group into 50 and 50. So the control group had 50, and the Taylor Swift group had 50 as well.
Okay, so then that's a decent number of students who took it. Now, this was distributed to the whole student body or just part of the student body?
No, I was exposed to the entire student body through email, of course. And this was possible because I went through the Institutional Review Board from the University of Virginia. So I got approval from them after going through a thorough process of 2 weeks and then was able to send it to the entire student board as a whole. So, but yeah, I got 100 students, which it's a considerable amount considering the small college that I attend. So yeah, I'm happy with that. Let's put it that way.
I'm happy with it too. And I've actually, for those of you who listened to the show before, I've had other students on who've taken part or designed or implemented surveys here at the college, most of which did not have IRB approval. But we didn't publish any of that. We just, you know, used that in class. But for those surveys, when they've sent it out to their friends, it's been difficult to get over 100 respondents. It really is. Even when we've gone into the community and tried to survey people within the community, so broader than just students, getting over 100 is hard. So, and how long was your survey open?
My survey was open for approximately 2 weeks. It was right after spring break, which also might have affected the amount of people that responded to it. People might not be checking emails. But still, yeah, it was a total of 100 valid responses, let's put it that way.
So I do want to tell the audience a little bit that in the very beginning when he was designing this, he also had designed a third kind of treatment. Tell him a little bit about what you had also want to do.
Yes, of course. So like the final result was having only one treatment group for Biden, but the original intention was to make two treatment groups, one for Biden and one for Nikki Haley, the Republican candidate. And we thought that because it could be viable for Swift to endorse her, especially because she's a woman. I mean, she's not Trump, and she's in the Republican Party, even though she endorsed Democratic candidates before. But we thought that even if you're a Swiftie, you could maybe pass on that she would be endorsing Nikki Haley. But the main reason why we didn't use her as a for the treatment group is mostly because right before we sent the survey, Nikki Haley unfortunately quit the presidential race. So we couldn't test for that because of that fact. But still, I think we had a good amount of responses and good results, honestly, that indicate some potential influence from Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and about Nikki Haley, I was going to mention that she actually, during all of the conspiracy theories surrounding the Super Bowl, she came out to say that this conspiracy theory involving Swift was just kind of silly. She said, I don't know why people are even focusing on this. Nobody knows. She said, quote, nobody knows who she's going to endorse, but I can't believe that's overtaken our national politics. The last thing I really think we need to be worried about is who Taylor Swift is dating and what conspiracy theory is going to have her endorsing a person for president. So Nikki Haley did not hop on the train of, you know, Taylor Swift's going to endorse Biden and, oh my gosh, can't believe this is going to happen. Okay. Let's talk about your findings. So we've split these students in half. Half of them have taken the treatment. Half of them are in the control. Well, actually, were there any differences between the two groups? We'll start there.
Good question. Yes. The main difference that both groups had was in terms of gender. So for the control group, we had 17 males, 30 females, whereas the Taylor Swift group, we had 26 males and 18 females, which, I mean, at first, you think it wouldn't affect much the result, but as we're going to see in some of the findings, it might have affected a little bit the results that we had. But other than that, in terms of ideology, party ID, who they vote in elections, the intention to vote in the 2024 elections, and the use of social media to gain information, it's pretty equal among both groups. But yeah, gender is the thing that mostly differs between both groups.
That's really cool that you found a difference because, I mean, we would expect this to be completely random. But again, it's such small samples. I think that might be why we're finding that. If we had a bigger sample, perhaps that would not be there. And we would have more equal balance in terms of gender between the two groups. All right, I'll put a pin in that. Tell me about the findings. What did you find?
Okay, starting out with Finney thermometers, I have to say that we were expecting that Biden in the Taylor Swift group would rank higher than the control group, but our findings indicate that the control group had an average for Biden of 40, and the average for Biden in the Taylor Swift group was 31. And also, when it comes to the average for Trump, the control group had 41, whereas the average for Trump in the Taylor Swift group was 34. So it was pretty disappointing at first whenever I saw this stat, because I wasn't expecting the control group to rank higher than the Taylor Swift group, let alone on both candidates. But after seeing the results, I was thinking, is it possible these results indicate any symmetry on Biden and Trump and how people perceive them? So I broke it down, and I found an interesting thing about the feeling thermometers. So when it comes to Biden, we see that both groups, the control group and the Taylor Swift group, Biden ranks higher on intervals from 0 to 25 and from 26 to 50, and that's both groups again. And then when it comes to Trump, he ranks higher on the intervals from 0 to 25 and from 76 to 100. So what does this mean specifically? I think what it could be telling us is that the way people see Trump, for instance, is that it's either a love or hate relationship. You either love him or hate him as a candidate. That's why he ranks higher from 0 to 25 and from 76 to 100. And when it comes to Biden, I think the way people see him are they either hate him or think he's doing a terrible job, or they think he's doing a subpar job as a president. So that's why he ranks higher on from 0 to 25 and from 26 to 50. So I think that's something that might indicate how people see these candidates. But again, it's not valuable for our research or our question in this sense, but it's interesting to see how people perceive these two candidates for the upcoming elections of 2024.
I think you're onto something, actually. So this might mean that feeling thermometers really shouldn't be used with these candidates. And you mentioned Trump being kind of like this polarizing figure. People are either hating him or they're loving him. And whereas Biden is more, you dislike him or you just are like, eh. And I actually think that's true. So like if you find a bunch of Democrats right now or people who are like more to the left and you say, evaluate Biden, how do you feel? Here's a feeling thermometer. I don't know of people who would give him 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not like, woo, we're all in for Biden, right? But now I do know of people who'd be like, woo, I'm all in for Trump. So the two candidates are just very different. So even if you remove the Taylor Swift condition, you're still finding differences between the way people are rating the one and rating the other. So perhaps feeling thermometers should be thrown out on people that we already know a lot about, that we're already polarized on. All right, you asked other questions, too, about, I guess you asked them to list things that they thought would be reasons to vote for a candidate and not to vote for a candidate. So what did you find there?
Exactly. So when it comes to those four categories, because reasons to vote for Biden and not vote for Biden, and then reasons to vote for Trump and not vote for Trump, I did find some interesting results. So when it comes to the reasons to vote for Biden, I did find that Taylor Swift group had more mentions than the control group when it came to those reasons to vote for Biden. Also, when it came to reasons to vote for Trump, the Taylor Swift group had lower mentions than the control group in this category. And the reasons to not vote for Biden, the control group had way higher comments than the Taylor Swift group significantly. And then when it comes to the reasons not to vote for Trump, both groups ranked pretty equally. So as we can see in three categories, the Taylor Swift group did have a difference that would favor Biden in this sense and would not favor Trump in this case as well. The only one that remained equal is the reasons to not vote for Trump, but it's pretty much the same. But there's a lot of mentions on both groups for him. So it does give us some indication that the post might have had an effect on surveys.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So it is possible for Taylor Swift to have an impact on young people. So I'm going to step away now from the data itself and thinking, you know, here's what the data is showing. How do we use this? I mean, I guess if we want to make it a broader, here's what this all means, here's like, would you be afraid that Biden's going to trot Taylor Swift out and that she's going to have a massive impact in his election or not?
It's a good question. I don't know whether to be afraid or be intrigued, but what could happen from a Taylor Swift endorsement? But I think it all goes back to Wright's research in 2023. She mentioned celebrity political activism and celebrity socialization and how that's attracting young people and making them and conditioning their political thought. And, well, I think, I mean, she's onto something, and this research kind of goes through that train of thought. I mean, it just indicates that celebrities, especially Taylor Swift, with her whole impact, how she fills stadiums, how much attention she has in social media, just can tell us that she might have a great influence over this. And as we can see, it's a sample of 100 people. And if we're seeing results now, what could happen if we sample it, if we send it on a national survey? I mean, I think we would have significant results that could just indicate the power of celebrities.
So are you planning to send this nationally?
I hope so. I mean, we're planning on it with Dr. Evans to send it to a national
survey. This
feels
so weird to question you like that, right?
I already know
the answers to all these questions.
It's for the people.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's our hope, that we could send it during the summer, especially so it doesn't conflict with months before the national election. So I'd love to send it over the summer and have results over there so we could test it, especially because even though we didn't have statistical significance, we did have significant results, but I feel like if we send it nationally, we could have statistically significant results that could prove that this is the case.
Yeah, and if we send it nationally, we can think about those feeling thermometers again. I'm wondering if those are the best instruments for this, and the open-ended questions did give us a lot to go with. Now, so I looked up her public opinion, the approval ratings people have of her versus Biden and Trump, and I'm here to tell you that people like her more than both of those candidates. Of course, it doesn't take much. Biden today, and this is May 3rd, 2024, according to 538, the rolling average for all of the polls, Biden is sitting at 55.5% disapproval, 38.8% approval, which is kind of in line with one of the figures you just discussed from the survey. Trump's approval, right now the rolling average is 52.8% disapproval, 42.2% approval, which means that Trump has higher approval than Biden. And I'm wondering, so this is going to be my final question, could Taylor Swift become president?
That's a great question. Well, I mean, we could think it's absurd as political scientists, but we can't say there's no precedent in the issue. I mean, we can talk about Ronald Reagan becoming president and being a celebrity, then also Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming governor of California. But most lately, we can talk about how Kanye West ran for president in the 2020 elections and had over 200,000 votes. So, I mean, Kanye West, we can talk about his popularity back then, but Taylor Swift now feel like is way more popular and has way more influence in this sense, and could actually not win the elections, but she could run for president and stir the pot a little bit, I think.
Taylor Swift for president 2024.
I could vote for her, maybe.
Maybe. She does fill stadiums. So
she
does. There's that. Well, thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
And good luck with grad school.
I appreciate it. Thank you.